Welcome to another Outposts, a live broadcast from the late-night cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. As a boy, my dad would take me to the river here in front of the deck at Outposts, and we would spend hours just watching the boats go by. As I grew older, I found that this cafe would become my haven to visit whenever I ventured to come home, even during my time of service. Whether I was gone a month or coming back from a deployment, the river was always where I went to clear my head. This rural cafe with its slow-running river is unforgettable. Looking back on my favorite parts of life, the Ocklawaha River and Outposts is always at the top. Life is often very inconvenient, sometimes for the reason that more than a few things really do take a long time, and others simply feel inconvenient because, well, we just have a heart full of don't want to wait, unless circumstances benefit us exclusively. This evening's topic is about what is suited to our personal comfort and easy to accomplish with as little effort as possible. Convenience seems to always be about saving someone time, effort, resources, or frustration. But here's the rub. For the worldly at heart, godliness is inconvenient. Holiness is inconvenient. Honesty and transparency can result in some very inconvenient circumstances. And justice. Don't we know? Real justice is very inconvenient. Real justice takes persistence, patience, carefully stepping between the cracks in the path, and constantly, incessantly being present and in the room for conflict resolution. Oh, it can be so tedious. Many people live their life as though justice is just too much trouble. They'd rather pay a fine for something they didn't do as opposed to go to court and protest the matter. It's just too much trouble. How much of your life is driven by convenience? Well, now let yourself breathe. Sit back and let it play, and I'll be right back. John 2:13-16. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Yes, sir. The Pharisees had a real profitable little business going on there, selling sacrifices and making money on the currency exchange rate. That's right, making money on the currency exchange rate. They wouldn't receive Roman currency. They insisted that people pay in Jewish currency. So everyone who only had Roman currency had to change their money at the current temple exchange rates. They literally were selling people's spiritual well-being, with people having no choice but to buy into it, considering that the temple leaders were the only game in town. Not only that, but God said, "They shall not do business in the temple like that, nor allow livestock in the inner courts." In Scripture, the last time we saw Jesus at the temple was approximately 18 years earlier, as seen in Luke 2:42-49. Now I'm going to fill in the blank and suggest he and his folks went to Passover in Jerusalem every year. And as a result, I think it's safe to assume Jesus had been looking at the stockyard going on in the temple and the money changers for at least 18 plus years. Every year he witnessed the defiling of his father's house by business people and the temple leaders who allowed all the buying and selling. I'm going to fill in the blank or assume here again and suggest that more than likely, the temple was getting a cut of all the business done in the temple. Seems like a reasonable thing. And right there is the problem. It was in the temple. Not business or a stockyard in the parking lot, but in the temple. It was a convenient service and a pretty good idea, but it was in the temple. Think about it. There were a lot of people coming from many miles away for Passover, and they couldn't necessarily bring animals 100 miles or so, and the sacrifice still remained prime. So a convenience was set up to sell to those who lived in town or came from a distance the necessary sacrifice. Not a bad idea. A very convenient and money-making idea. But they moved it into the temple area, so the stockyard and the sacrificial altar were very, very conveniently located. That way, no one had to go to much effort. It saved time and handling of the livestock, and man, oh man, did it make money. It seemed to make life easier for sure. But there was a huge problem. The livestock and money exchangers, who conveniently were there to convert Roman currency to Hebrew coinage, were in the temple, and it was expressly forbidden by God himself to either do business or bring livestock in the temple. But, well, the need for convenience seemed to supersede the Word of God. I'll just say, the day Jesus went to scattering money and throwing over tables and chairs, it was not a good day for business. It was inconvenient or too much trouble to do what God asked. It didn't suit the lazy, indifferent heart of the people. It was all for the people. Sacrificers, sanctifiers, and money changers who didn't want to be inconvenienced with the effort and time to be obedient. Our lives are largely made up of conveniences. I went to a church meeting where the pastor opened with a prayer over the congregation, rebuking the spirit of poverty and indebtedness. But 30 minutes later, while taking up the tithe and offering, the same church leader announced that the church is now able to take people's tithe and offerings on their credit card for the sake of convenience. In one breath, he rebuked the spirit of poverty and indebtedness, which was driving the congregation backwards. And in the next breath, he was inviting them into poverty and indebtedness for the sake of convenience. Oh boy, I almost ran out the door, completely shocked. All to make it so, giving money was not inconvenient, even if people had to borrow money to give.
Don't drop your tithe and offering in the box at the back. Keep your seat and we'll come to you. That way you don't have to do anything but sit back, be comfortable, make out a check, or dig in your wallet.
For most, it's too much trouble to actually be concerned and take action on behalf of down and out people because it's messy and inconvenient. Amazingly, people seem to be okay with feeling concerned without actually being concerned. It's convenient. People seem to be okay with feeling honest without actually being honest. It's inconvenient. The ramifications of truly being concerned or being honest and taking action seem to be far too inviting of inconvenient circumstances. In other words, it doesn't suit our personal comfort. And yes, it's true. Actually being concerned, taking action, and being honest isn't easy to perform. As I've said before, we need to become disillusioned with the devil's illusion. And don't you know, you can't become disillusioned unless you first have an illusion. And that is the honest truth. And yes, it does go against the grain of what is convenient. Our daily lives are so very built around conveniences. As was previously mentioned, justice is a huge inconvenience. Our court systems have made it so easy, so convenient for people to falsely admit guilt and pay the fine rather than do what lawmakers would call
dragging the court system down by insisting on the inconvenience of justice.
Our society is all about convenience. We buy what is called convenience products, which is a product bought by consumers without much thought to price or comparison. Part of the list of convenience products are milk, house thermostat with heating and air, vegetables and meat at the grocery store, already started flowers and vegetables, automatic dishwashers, clothes dryers, highways, pre-prepared food, Teflon cookware, public restrooms, computers, cell phones, and the list goes on and on, ad nauseum. Many years ago, people didn't have these conveniences. Back then, if you wanted to be warm in the winter, there was wood to chop and split. Not many had indoor toilets, indoor running cold or hot water, or electric lights. Much of gift-giving at Christmas is providing people a product at the local mid-level income bracket right up front as you walk in the doors. It's not a poorly or well-made item. It's not priced too high or too low. There's a lot of trinkets and doodads, clever items for men, and pretty baubles, beads, and ornamental knickknacks for women. Here's another one. Because voter turnout has declined in recent years, either from depression or lack of interest, now we can do mail-in voting. All done in hopes more people will vote because it's more convenient. Granted, it makes voter fraud so much easier. But it's okay, just sit back, relax in the comfort of your own home, and we'll come to you. That way, no one need be disturbed any more than necessary. Hey, you don't even have to spend any money on stamps because the voting ballot comes with the postage paid envelope. Convenience also changes with time. For example, at one time a car was considered a wonderful convenience, but over time the automobile has come to be regarded as part of everyday life. Having a car, even a bad car, is better than walking to work or school. All that walking. Ugh, what an inconvenience. It's all about saving time, saving money, saving effort as reasons to create added convenience, making life easier. But what if God didn't do all the things He has done for us because it was inconvenient? Where would we be? Do you realize that nowadays we can purchase food, household items, and even furniture from virtually any room in our house with just the press of a button, and even have it delivered to the door within the hour many times? We can pay for stuff with just a tap on our watch or phone. At what expense have we pursued convenience, though? Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the lazy will be put to forced labor. The more we are unwilling to be inconvenienced, the lazier we get. I knew a man who, after many years of being dedicated to laziness, and had such an aversion to being inconvenienced, if he had a job tasting pies at a pie factory, he wouldn't show up because it was too much trouble. That's right out of Proverbs 19:24. We want rain without clouds, bountiful gardens without plowing, a house without the work of building, riches without risk and investment. We want love without commitment, forgiveness without repentance, receiving without giving, wisdom without suffering, joy without sorrow, offspring without pain, and heaven without hell. We seem to want miracles from God without actually being in a relationship with God. The relationship takes effort and time, although seemingly inconvenient. Our relationship with God is far more important than the miracles from God. Many want to give testimony, but being the testimony is inconvenient. Jesus did not consider man an inconvenience, but often man considers Jesus an inconvenience. It was not convenient for God to give his only Son, but if he had not, we would still be under the bondage of law, sin, and death, and that would be a colossal inconvenience. For those who are inconvenienced by yielding to God, Jude 1:12-13 reads, "These people are spots in your love feasts as you worship and eat together, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Love is not convenient, though sin appears easy in the moment. But in the long run, it is an inconvenience of incredible proportions that need not be endured. Ephesians 5:4. "Don't give place to filthiness, foolish talking, nor crude joking, which are not convenient and are improper, not reflecting the nature of Christ within us." That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Friends, you can be sure that using people, religion, or things just for what you can get out of them because it's convenient will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. And think about it. Our love of conveniences, or our open disdain for being inconvenienced, really does drive much of what we do. When encountering problems arising out of our addiction to convenience, we seem to think the solution must also be just as convenient as the problem. Convenience stores are not called convenience stores for nothing. And it's not that things are convenient that's the difficulty, but us who no longer do the diligence of participating with the Lord in our own well-being because dealing with conflict is inconvenient. When we let real life slide because we don't want to be inconvenienced, it's expensive. I think we're going to need to rethink our love of conveniences. Heavily processed and artificially flavored food takes so little work that we do it in huge amounts. And again, the solution for many must also be convenient. They don't want to cook their own meals or put in hours of exercise. They want fast but healthy meals which are ready, instantly, made in a few minutes. It's easier to take pills to solve our problems than it is to see a counselor and really get to the root of the conflict, or get surgery that solves our fat problems. Now there's a convenience. Don't quit eating so much. Don't exercise. Just go get surgery that gets rid of all your fat, and then you can have your cake and eat it too. It is inconvenient to get too involved with the Lord and other believers, because you know, convenience always comes with hidden costs. The cost is a doctor-endorsed societal drug problem, homelessness, lack of a prayer life, all things which affect us all, but hey, that's somebody else's problem, right? I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, a late-night semi-live broadcast from the deck of a rural cafe overlooking the broad and beautiful Lackawanna River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. This production has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Mountain Guitars, where reality strikes a chord with everyone. Every Tuesday is a special Tuesday at Mountain Guitars. This week is no different, so stop by and see Billy. Tell him the rural cafe at the end of Old Field Road sent you. Additionally, let's give notice to the girls at the Jump Off Rock gift shop. Walt at the only two coin-operated launderettes in town. Betty and Elisa at the Opportunity House. And, of course, Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers. That's right, Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by Tribal Tech, Mike Stern and Al DiMiola, Mark Egan, Jim Beard, and Andy McKee. All music use is licensed by BMI. Let your life not be made up of convenience. Let us extend ourselves. Let yourself reach past inconvenience and make a difference in the world around you. Time is short. The days are filled with God opportunities. Every day, determine in yourself to do something kind for someone. Drive carefully. Watch out for the other guy. Pray for yourself and your neighbors. Be strong and courageous until we meet again. Amen.